Welcome to Zichud Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechet Zeharah and Daf Hey. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, a machlokus was brought in a case where one wanted to lower a mabui entrance that was above 20 amas by building up the ground beneath the korah. Rav Yosef said that the mound must be at least one tefach wide extending into the mabui, and Abai said that it must be at least four tefachim wide. One explanation for the base of machlokus is as follows. Rav Yosef holds mutu ishtamish tachas korah. It's permissible to carry directly under the korah, and therefore, the person will notice the korah and be reminded not to carry in rishus of rabbim. Abai disagrees and holds asli shtamish tachas korah. It's forbidden to carry directly under the korah, and therefore the korah must be recognizable when one is not standing directly underneath it. Rashi explains that once the mound must extend past the korah, it's required to have a chashuv width, which is the width of four tefachim. A second explanation of the machlokas is that everybody holds Mutter lishtamish tachas korah. It is permissible to carry under the korah. However, they dispute the purpose of the korah. Rav Yosef holds that it's there to serve as a hacker, and therefore one tefach is sufficient. Abai holds that it's there to serve as a mechitza, and a mechitza is only halachically considered a partition when it sets off an area that is at least 4x4 tefachim. And the Gemara brings two additional explanations. Point number two is Tad in the Braisa, Ein mavui nitte belechi v'korah, carrying in a mavui is not permissible with a lechi or a korah unless there are courtyards and houses opening into it, meaning at least two courtyards with at least two homes in each courtyard. Rav Nachman said, "Minakitinan, we have the following tradition: Ezu mavui shenitte belechi v'korah. Which kind of mavui is permissible to carry in with a lechi or a korah? Kosha archu yaso arachbo. Ubati mechateros pesukim usocho. Any mavui whose length is greater than its width and that courtyards and houses open into it." Rashi explains that a square mavui is the status of a chatzer, which has more extensive requirements to permit carrying within it. And point number three, Rami Bar Chama said in the name of Rav that if a lechi protrudes four amos into the entranceway, nidu mishim mavui, it's judged as a wall of the mavui. And it therefore requires another lechi to permit carrying into it. Rav Papa says one should place the second lechi on the other side of the entrance, where it will stand alone and will not be mistaken as part of the original wide lechi. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, says that one may even place it next to the wide lechi if he makes it taller or shorter or thicker or thinner so that it is distinct. So once again, the 3 points are number one. On Daf Dalet Amud Beis, a machlokus was brought in a case where one wanted to lower a mavui entrance that was above 20 amas by building up the ground beneath the korah. Rav Yosef said the mound must be at least one tefach wide extending to the mavui, and Abai said it must be at least four tefachim wide. One explanation from the base of the machlokas is as follows. Rav Yosef holds mutu ishtamish tachas korah. It's permissible to carry directly under the korah, and therefore the person will notice the korah and be reminded not to carry in rishus of rabbim. Abai disagrees and holds asli ishtamish tachas korah. It's forbidden to carry directly under the korah, and therefore, the korah must be recognizable when one is not standing directly underneath it. Rashi explains that once the mound must extend past the korah, it's required to have a chashuv width, which is the width of dalet tefachim. A second explanation of the machlokes is that everybody holds mutu ishtamish tachas korah. It's permissible to carry under the korah. However, they dispute the purpose of the korah. Rav Yosef holds that it's there to serve as a hacker, and therefore one tefach is sufficient. Abaya holds that it's there to serve as a mechitza, and a mechitza is only halachically considered a partition when it sets off an area that is at least 4x4 tefachim. And the Gemara brings two additional explanations. Point number two is taught in a braisa, ein mavui nitte belechi v'korah, ad shu batim v'chetzeros pesuchim v'socho. Carrying in a mavui is not permissible with a lechi or a korah, unless there are courtyards and houses opening into it, meaning at least two courtyards with at least two homes in each courtyard. Rav Nachman said, "Minakitinan, we have the following tradition: Ezu mavui shenit belechi v'korah. Which kind of mavui is permissible to carry in with a lechi or a korah? Kosha archo yase arachbo ubati mechatzeros pesuchim usocho. Any mavui whose length is greater than its width, and that courtyards and houses open into it." Rashi explains that a square mavui has the status of a chatzer, which has more extensive requirements to permit carrying within it. And point number three, Rami Bar Chama said in the name of Rav that if a lechi protrudes dalet amos into the entranceway, nidu mishum mavui, it's judged as a wall of the mavui, v'tzarech lechi acher la'atiro, and it therefore requires another lechi to permit carrying into it. Rav Papa says that one should place the second lechi on the other side of the entranceway, will stand alone and will not be mistaken as part of the original wide lechi. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, says that one may even place it next to the wide lechi if he makes it taller or shorter or thicker or thinner so that it's distinct. All right, so now we go to our sim for Daf Hay, and the sim for Hay is hay, a haystack, so here goes. The mound of hay piled up under the core that was too high belonged to the four homeowners in the two courtyards who didn't realize their four amma wide lechi was too wide. Once again, it's Lamotion. The mound of hay, that must be run Daf Hay. The mound of hay piled up under the core that was too high, which reminds the Malchokas of how wide the mound under a too high core must be, one tefach or four. And the question, if the Malchokas is whether one can be mishtamish under the core or not, or one can be mishtamish, but the question is whether the core functions as a heker or a mechitza. So the mound of hay piled up under the core that was too high belonged to the four homeowners in the two courtyards, which reminds that a mabli is not permissible with a lechi or korah unless it has two courtyards with two houses each, and that it must be rectangular because a square one has a din of a chatzer. So the mound of hay piled up under the core that was too high belonged to the four homeowners in the two courtyards, who didn't realize their four amma wide lechi was too wide. Which reminds that a four amma wide lechi becomes part of the mabli, and therefore one either puts a second lechi on the other side, or puts the second lechi next to the wide one, but it has to be distinct in some way, either taller, shorter, thinner, or wider. So once again, the mound of hay piled up under the core that was too high belonged to the four homeowners in the two courtyards who didn't realize their four amma wide lechi was too wide. Now it's time for four blah bat chazara. Daf kufnun zayin. So the symbol of kufnun zayin is ice cream cones. So here goes. Ice cream cones, that must mean we're on daf kufnun zayin. Ice cream cones at the hilchas muksatzium, which reminds the Gemara brings a malchukas marayin between Rav Acha and Ravina regarding the final halacha muksa. One said, "Bechol Shabbos kula halachah Rabbi Shimon lebar b'muksa machnas mius." Regarding all the hilchos Shabbos, the law is like Rabbi Shimon that there's no prohibition of muksa, except in regard to muksa due to repugnance, such as using in their yashan a used clay lamp. The other said, "But muksa machnas mius nami halachah Rabbi Shimon lebar b'muksa machnas iser." Even in regard to muksa due to repugnance, the law is like Rabbi Shimon. The halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Shimon only in regard to muksa due to prohibition, such as a lamp in which a flame had been lit on Shabbos. Everyone agrees, though, that muksa makrins chesro and kis afil Rabbi Shimon moda. With regard to something that is muksa for fear of monetary loss, even Rabbi Shimon concedes that it is muksa. Examples are meser gadol v'yasid shel mechresha, a large saw and a plow blade. So ice cream cones at the hilchas muksasim were savored by dieting talmidim released from their vows on Shabbos, which reminds of the last mission the Masechta states, mafir nedarim b'Shabbos, we may annul vows on Shabbos, which Rashi explains is referring to a husband annulling his wife's vow. V'nishong nedarim she'enu atzorcha Shabbos, and we may seek release from vows from a chacham made to abstain from things that are necessary for Shabbos. Rashi provides the example of one who makes a neder not to eat on Shabbos. Now the Gemara asks, if the Mishnah permits one to seek release from nedarim k'shelo hayol panai, in a case where he had no opportunity to do so before Shabbos, o dilma afil hayol panai, or does it refer even to a case in which he did have an opportunity to do so before Shabbos? A proof is brought from an incident in which the Rabban released Rav Zutra, the son of Rav Zera, from a neder, even though he had the opportunity to seek release from it before Shabbos. So ice cream cones at the Hilchas Muksasim were savored by dieting talmidim, released from their vows on Shabbos, oblivious that right outside in the narrow alley, a corpse was found. Which reminds the Mishnah brought an incident in which they shuttered a window with a tapiach, an earthenware flask, and they tied an earthenware vessel with a strand of reed grass in order to determine whether or not there was an opening the size of a tefach in a certain barrel. The Mishnah concludes that we learn from this incident, pokeking, modedim, bakoshim, b'Shabbos, we may shutter, measure, and tie on Shabbos. But Yehuda said in the name of Rav that the incident involved the corpse in a narrow alley where a cracked barrel rested upon the two houses sheltering the corpse, and before the person died, they had shuttered the window with a flask to prevent Tumah from entering the house. They then tied the earthenware vessel with a strand of reed grass to see if they could pass it through the crack in the barrel to see if there was a tefach-sized hole in it. If the hole was the size of a tefach, then the tumah would escape through the crack and the barrel would not serve as a roof of an oel. This would permit them to take out the flask from the window since the tumah would not spread into the houses. Daf Beis in Erevin. So the symbol for Daf Beis is a house. So the house of prayer, house, that must be run Daf Beis. The house of prayer with crossbeams lowered to 20 amos high, which reminds the opening Mishnah states that if a mavli has a korah, a crossbeam placed at the entrance, higher than 20 amos, the korah must be lowered. Rav Yehuda says it doesn't need to be lowered. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Chachamim u'madua el mepiskul shel heichol. The Chachamim derived their ruling from the entrance of the heichol, and Rabbi Yehuda Olam De'el Mepischo Shel Ulam. Rabbi Yehuda derived his ruling from the entranceway of the antechamber, as it stated in the Mishnah Midos, Pischo Shel Heichel Gavu Esrim Amma Verachve Eser Amos. The entranceway of the Heichel is 20 Amos high and 10 Amos wide, Shel Ulam Gavu Arbim Amma Verachve Esrim. And the entranceway to the antechamber was 40 Amos high and 20 Amos wide. So the house of prayer with crossbeams lowered to 20 Amos high was called Beis Mishkan HaMikdash, which reminds us, the Gemara wanted to elaborate how both the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda derived their ruins from the same pasuk, Vishchato Pesach Ohel Moed, and he shall slaughter the offering at the entranceway of the Ohel Moed. The Gemara questions how the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda can base their dispute on a pasuk referring to the Ohel Moed, whose entranceway was only 10 Amos high, and answers, Ashkan Mishkan Deikri Mikdash, or Mikdash Deikri Mishkan. We find in the Torah that the Mishkan is sometimes called the Mikdash, and sometimes the Mikdash is called the Mishkan, as it says in the pasuk, Vasili Mikdash Vishachanti Besocham, and they shall make for me a Mikdash, and I will dwell in their midst. Here we see that the Mishkan is sometimes called a Mikdash. Therefore, the Pasuk, which the Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda based the ruling on, can be referring to the entranceway of the base of Mikdash, which is higher than 10 Amos. So the house of prayer with crossbeams lowered to 20 Amos high was called Base Mishkan HaMikdash, and featured elegant ornamental doors made merely to provide a sense of privacy. Which reminds the Gemara asks that if the Chachamim derived their ruling from the entranceway to the Heichel, then they should require doors like the Heichel had. Yet we know in a later Mishnah that Heksher Mabui, the adjustment of a Mabui, according to Beis Shammai, requires a Lechi and a Kor. And according to Beis Hillel, a Lechi or a Kor. Neither one requires a door. The Gemara answers, D'alsos Heichel etznius ba'amahu davinan. The doors of the Heichel were made merely for privacy, which means to lend a sense of dignity to the Avoda. Daf Gimel. So the Simper Daf Gimel is a Gemal, a camel. So here goes. The distracted camel. Camel, that must mean we're on Daf Gimel. The distracted camel, looking at the prominent heker at the Mabui entrance, which reminds Rav stated on Dav Beis Hamad Aleph, that the Chachamim will hold that the beam of Mabui may not be higher than 20 Amos, derived the ruling from the height of the entrance into the Heichel, which was 20 Amos. On this Dav, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak disagrees and says that the reason the Chachamim limit the Korah's height to 20 Amos is Mishum Hekera, to serve as a reminder to differentiate between a Mabui and Rishus HaRabim. Rashi explains that people will see it and know that the Rabban required it, and they'll not come to confuse the Mavui with the Rishus HaRabim. It also explains why the Rabban held that an Amaltra, a prominence above 20 Amos, is permitted, since people will notice the beam because of it. So the distracted camel, looking at the prominent heker at the Mavui entrance, smashed into a sukkah with some schach above 20 Amos, which reminds the Gemara asks what the halacha is if part of the korah is within 20 Amos of the ground and the top part of the korah is above 20 Amos. Similarly, what's the halacha if part of the schach is within 20 Amos and part of the schach is above 20 amos? Rabbi answered, "B'mavui kasher b'sukkah pasul." The korah of the mavui is valid, and the sukkah is pasul. Rabbi from the town of Prazakia explained the difference between the korah and the sukkah. Technically, the sukkah should be valid if the lower part of the schach is within 20 amos, except that since the sukkah is meant for an individual, the person sitting in the sukkah will not be mindful and notice if some of the lower schach is removed, and thereby make the sukkah pasul. In the case of a mavui, however, since it's meant for the public, they'll remind each other to fix it if the lower part of the korah disintegrates. Ravina said that Rabbah was machmir by the sukkah since it's a daraisa, and leaning with the mavui since it's the rabban. The Gemara brings an alternative version of Rabbah in which he rules, b'mavui pasul b'sukkah kashera, the korah of the mavui is pasul and the sukkah is valid, with explanations for Rabbah's rationale. So the distracted camel, looking at the prominent heker at the mavui entrance, smashed into a sukkah with some schach above 20 amos that was full of unhappy, tight-fisted guests debating the size of an Amma. Which reminds us, Abai said in the name of Rav Nachman, Amma Sukkah va'amas Mabui ba'amma bash chamisha. The Amma unit mentioned in the laws of Sukkah and a Mabui is a 5 Tvachim unit. And Amma's Kalaim ba'amma bashisha. The Amma unit mentioned in the laws of Kalaim is 6 Tvachim. Rashi explains that Rav Nachman is stating that the Amma unit that will result in a Chumrah is always used. This must be Rav Nachman's intent. Otherwise, how would he apply different measures when the Mishnah doesn't indicate which measures should be used? Rav has said in the name of Nachman that all Amma units are 6 tfachim, el ha'u sochakos v'ha'u atzevos. The Ammas for climb are loose Ammas, meaning measured with a loose fist, and the Ammas for a sukkah and a mabui are measured with tight Ammas, meaning measured with a tight fist. Tight fists are called atzevos, resembling the compressed lips of someone who's sad, and loose fists are called happy, resembling the slightly parted lips of one who smiles. Daf Dalet. So the Simfer Daf Dalet is a door, a delet. So here goes. The 5 tefach door, that must be more on Daf Dalet. The 5 tefach door used to measure the base, ledge, and horns of the Mizbeach, which reminds Rabbi Shimon Gamliel stated in the Brisa, Kol amu she'amu chachamim ba'kalayim ba'amu bashisha, All the Amma units the Chachamim mentioned in regard to climb are measured using an Amma of 6 Tefachim, provided they should not be precise, meaning that they should be loose Tefach Ammos. The Gemara suggests that stipulating that climb requires 6 Tefachim Ammos implies that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that with regards to Sukkah and Mavui, 5 Tefachim Ammos are used, which would support Abai's position. The Gemara answers that Rav Shimon Gamliel may have come to exclude the Amma units mentioned in context of the Yesod HaMizbech, the Sovev, the Kranos, and the Mizbech HaZahav, the base ledge and horns of the Mizbech, as well as the width and depth of the golden Mizbech, which were all measured using 5 Tefachim units. So the 5 Tefach Dor used to measure the base, ledge, and horns of the Mizbech was owned by the craftsman with sticky tar all over his hair, which reminds Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi said in the name of Rav, Shi'urin chatzitzin mechitzin halach lomush misinai, standard measurements, interpositions, and partitions are all laws which were given orally to Moshe Har Sinai. After proving that the laws of chatzitzin, interpositions, are in fact doraisa, and that hair is also chotzes doraisa, the Gemara clarifies that Rav was referring to halacha which Rabbi Yitzchak taught, Devar Torah, rubo u'makbid olav chotzes. According to Torah law, meaning halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, something on one's hair is only a chatzitza if it covers the majority of the hair and if one objects to it being there. Rashi gives the examples of dry blood, ink, clay, or tar. Rashi also explains if one does not object to the object being on his hair, it's considered as part of the body. The Rabban decreed that even if only one factor exists, meaning it covers most of one's hair, or if he objects to it being on his hair, the tefillah is invalid. So the 5 tefach dor used to measure the base, ledge, and horns of the Mizbeach was owned by the craftsman with sticky tar all over his hair, who also used it to teach the laws of good, loved, and dovin akuma. Which reminds the Gemara challenges Rav's assertion that the halach of mechitzos is a halach of Moshe Mitzrayim from one of Rav's own teachings, in which he states that we derive the law that a mechitza is 10 tefachim from the fact that the aron was 9 tefachim and the kaparis was 1 tefach for a total of 10 tefachim. The Gemara answers that Rav was referring to the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the height of the aron was only 7.5 tefachim, and therefore it cannot serve as a source of mechitzas. According to Rabbi Meir, the halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim is coming to teach the halachos of good, extending a wall up or down, lavud, viewing small gaps in a wall is closed, and dovin akuma, the law of a bent wall of a sukkah. All right, so now we conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos and Shabbos. Number 1, which have to learn that the doors of the Heichal were for tznias purposes? That's on Daf Beis. Good. Number 2, which Daf do we have a machlokas regarding how wide a mound needs to be built under a cord that's too high? That's on Daf Hey. Good. Number 3, which Daf do we have a machlokas regarding the size of an amma for a mavui, sukkah, and kalayim? That's on Daf Gimel. Good. Number 4, which Daf do we learn that something covering the majority of one's hair that the person doesn't want there is considered a chatzitza? That's on Daf Dalet. Good. Number 5, which Daf do we learn what the halach is if part of the kor or part of schach is higher than 20 amos? That's on Daf Gimel. Good. Number 6, which Daf do we discuss food preparations for animals? That's on Daf Kufnun Hay and Shabbos. Good. Number 7, which Daf do we machlokas regarding if a kor above 20 amos needs to be lower? That's on Daf Beis. Good. Number 8, which Daf do we learn that the Yesod, Sobev, and Kranos of the Mizbeach and the Mizbeach Zahav are measured with 5 Tefachim amos? That's on Daf Dalet. Good. Number 9, which Daf do we learn that only a mavui with 2 courtyards with 2 houses each is permitted with a lechi or a korah? That's on Daf Hey. Good. And number 10, which Daf do we learn that the Mishkan is sometimes referred to as a mikdash and vice versa? That's on Daf Beis. Excellent. So now we conclude with the bonus questions. Number 1, which Daf do we have a machlokas regarding what the origin of the 3 tefillos are? That's on Daf Chavav and Brachos. Good. Number 2, which Daf do we first have the machlokas whether lush requires manual mixing or not? That's on Daf Yudches and Shabbos. Good. And number 3, which Daf do we learn that tallest remnants are muksa? That's on Daf Kufchav Hey in Shabbos. Great, that concludes the Bob quiz. And a message for all the all doffers: if you want to get access to the deluxe package of Zichru materials, which includes review sheets, simanim pictures, animations of the simanims, and so much more, you can sign up at zichru.com or via WhatsApp at 973-440-3013. As Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.